Okay, let's talk about scattered people. Let's talk about our Father as well. You know, there's one thing that we oftentimes forget about. Our Father is the same yesterday as He is today, as He's going to be forever. And sometimes, in as much as we have dispensations of His teaching, of His plan, as a matter of fact, that Christ would come to this earth, and that was God with us. Emmanuel means what? God with you. That's God's presence. Many might say, well, there was more mercy afterward. Well, I wrestle with that, for man has always wanted a king, something he could see. Man has wanted something he could touch, maybe even. And they asked for a king, and God allowed them to have Saul. And then He sent a bad spirit to old Saul. And finally, He Himself came as a Savior, king to be, where man could see. But even when you pray today, you still pray to the same Father in that Savior's name. Does the law change? Not really. The ordinances certainly have, for Christ became all those blood sacrifices. My point is, so many people, when you read from the Old Testament, feel that doesn't apply, or that's old hat. Don't ever get in that frame of mind. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Naturally, on repentance now, we have forgiveness of sin rather than blood sacrifice, because Christ's blood was precious to the point that there's never any need for sacrifice again of anything other than love for Him. So God scattered His children down through the generations for various reasons. Could we say it was because He was angry at them in the beginning when He promised that He would scatter them? Well, in a sense, but who caused the wrath? God's jealous. You start worshiping some other god and He doesn't necessarily like it, but it isn't God's fault, it's the person's fault. The person, the individual, is the one that will turn away from God or not recognize His oneness, the fact that He is your Father. And when you do that, you're going to pay for it. So, in His correction, that keeps the children basically in line and in thought. For anyone that is in a position whereby they can chastise you is in control, whether you like it or not. They have the authority. Okay? So our Father's Word is our authority, and it never changes. Again, there are different divisions. We could even say dispensations. There are different sets of circumstances that attach to certain people. But God chose a people in the beginning. And those same people will accomplish things that He covenanted with them from the beginning. That does not change the Word of God as far as salvation or His love for all His children. But He scattered them in the second time for their protection, basically. He scattered them and allowed them to be taken captive. But each time they were taken captive, they came out far richer than they ever were before. Because why? God loves His people. God loves His children. Some might say, well, what about the Assyrian captivity? They've never been heard from since. And that was the majority of the 12 tribes. Well, it's according to who you are as to whether or not they have never been heard from since. Because they went over the Caucasus Mountains, were called Caucasians. They migrated into Spain, into Europe. They settled there. And many later migrating to this great nation, America. And when you begin to check the footprints, and that's the reason, quite frankly, we do documentaries, is to prove they traveled here. To prove long ago, it is no accident that just south of Albuquerque, New Mexico, that you find the full Ten Commandments in ancient Hebrew. And I have, and we have flown and walked the Rio Grande River, and we have found many signs of that ancient writing still there this day. And it is obvious when you gain the experience to be able to date things that it is amazing when you see God's hand. Was America mentioned in the Bible? I think it is. I don't have any problem with that. I think it was even mentioned in the 25th chapter of Genesis, where this woman with two sons in her womb said, "You've got two nations in your womb." Not two sons, two nations. And it would have to do with prophecy even to the end time, that the older would serve the younger. And you cannot have a superpower as we have in this great nation today without God having noticed it, or maybe he forgot. God doesn't forget anything. So God scattered in the second sense for probably a twofold purpose that I'll be talking about today, and I could add much to that as well as you could. First, dispersal for protection, but the primary reason, dispersal to spread his word. Dispersal whereby his word would cover the world, and so it has. This nation, America today, though many might argue, well, it's not a Christian nation anymore. Well, get it. How long has it been since you read the Constitution or your Bible? Because the Constitution comes from the Word of God. Pull a coin out of your pocket and read it sometime. What does it say? In God we trust. Though the people have turned away in part, God never breaks his promise nor his covenant for those that seek him. So, I might mention the parable of the leaven, that if it is spread, it spreads through the entire loaf, and the whole loaf becomes leaven. In other words, if you have one Christian and you move that Christian to a location and they are a Christian indeed, they're going to plant seeds and that word is going to spread. So we see within that that God has known all along exactly what his plan was. It's just that man sometimes is a little slow coming to it. Now, what does that mean to you today? Well, it can mean a great deal to you. It can mean that if you happen to be of that fold or even adopted into it through Christ, there are a lot of promises made to you that are in effect right today. And I can stand before you as one that guarantees you, if you don't try to con God and you claim those promises, they're in effect. And you can reap them now. Not tomorrow, not the next day, now. For our Father is true to his word. Now, what does the word scattering, both as it's, I'm going to use it as it's used in the Greek. It means to divide. It can even mean that. And sometimes division brings growth. That might surprise some. It's according to what the division is, but in churches, yes. It can mean growth. It can mean a further spreading or fragmentation of the leaven whereby it grows. I might give you a small example. When a lady that likes to work with yeast and makes yeast bread, which is, we'll say, leaven, she has one little glob of it here, and it grows, and she pulls a little piece off. That divides, scatters into another loaf, and lets it sit a while, and that baby starts rising. And you put it in the oven, and, oh, I'm getting hungry already here. But it smells so good, you know. But it leavens loaf after loaf after loaf. Well, that's what your business is. You're just a little piece of that truth, of that rock that is broken off and scattered. And as we sit in this room today, because knowing the subject, I could not help but think of, like, from Alaska, Oregon, and all the various places that this ministry alone touches and touches those people, those fragments, and that truth continues on. I want you to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's try to understand our Father's emotions as He would scatter His children. We're going to pick it up about the 25th verse, but I want you to think of this. God has, He's literally been present except by sight to these people, accomplishing great miracles, such as opening the Red Sea, such as protecting them all through Egypt by providing manna, quail. I mean, what more could He do for them to show that He was God? He even spoke from that mountain. And by the time Moses got back down, they had built a golden calf. Can you understand how our Father gets disappointed with His people? Can you blame Him? I really have difficulty with that particular part of those people. Sometimes I think it must have been a blindness in part brought on them as an example to us, because you that are willing to follow Christ by faith, though you have never seen Him other than having felt Him in your heart as He touches you and leads you in the Word, these people literally saw the miracles performed or had seen them. And days later, they want a golden calf. I really have trouble with that. I really do. But it happened. I do believe that. And I don't blame our Father for being angry. I think that'd make anyone angry. If you had a couple of children and you had to go away for 3 or 4 or 5 days and you came back and they had your house all messed up and had taken all of your favorite literature, we'll say, and made, what's one of these dolls they make out of paper, Lachetti, and, you know, a whole new religion. Well, not that that is a religion. And had taken up with the neighbor lady, and we're calling her mama, or him daddy, you know. Would that make you angry? I think that would, you would say, well, I birthed you, I fed you, I clothed you, I had the pain of the labor, and this is the way you do me? Well, our Father has gone through considerable pain and hurt and anguish because of His children and the way they treat Him. Even to this day, it's almost like, well, what's in it for me? I'll believe that, but I want to know what's in it for me. If you can show me where there's really a great deal. And that's kind of natural. I don't have any problem with that part of it. As a matter of fact, when one of the very points that I always try to emphasize when I teach in a lecture is to show what's in it for you, so it will be of importance to you. And I assure you, the scattering is of importance to you. Because remember this, for every negative there is a positive. When God does the scattering, it's just possible you're His servant that He has chosen in part to do the gathering. For every scattering there must come a gathering. And there are gatherers, we could call them harvesters if you like, and we could branch off into hundreds of parables in that respect. But God was angry when Moses came down, the golden calf was built, and they were having orgies right there at the very foot of the mountain where God had spoken. I'm glad this is, I'm being silly, but aren't you glad you weren't God that day? I think I know what I would have done. I think I would have started all over. I'd have just cleaned the whole mess out and started all over. And I think many of us would, but God is merciful. Don't you ever think He isn't? Even in His correcting, that He could take a lot like that, that He had led by the shoestrings for years and years, and have them doing like that, and then have the patience not to just wipe the whole bunch out. I have trouble with it. I really do. But that's the part we're reaching here. When the first scattering, not necessarily the first, but the reason for the scattering. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 25, let's go with it. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, as this umbilical cord goes on from generation to generation, and my friend, that comes down to even now, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, not necessarily an image, anything, a system, call it a church if you like, if it's aside from God's Word. And shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger. Our Father doesn't enjoy being angry, my friends. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. I'm going to tell you what, when your Father states that, you can count on it, friend. That is your Father swearing by both heaven and earth that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. He was angry. He means destroyed as a people, no, as a nation. Verse 27, and the Lord shall scatter. I want you to underline that. This is His promise. You can count on it. It happened. The Lord shall scatter you among the nations. That's even among the ethnos, the Gentile peoples in the Hebrew tongue. And ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. You're going to be just a few there. Well, there you have a little bit of the old parable. You're going to use 11 and the kings and the queens among those ethnic peoples. And I just said ethnos was a Hebrew word. It's definitely, it's a Greek word. But meaning the same thing in even the Hebrew tongue. Verse 28. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. Now many people I know say, well, how can that be? You know that intelligent people today are not going to make something out of wood and worship or practice heathen practices there in it. I have to come back to the most basic of all times. The day Passover. Nowhere in God's manuscripts is it called Easter for Ishtar. And nowhere in the Word of God, but only in heathenistic archives of sexual orgies, do you find rolling eggs. But a lot of churches do it. Or even the old quick like a bunny, Easter bunny, to bring those heathen practices over a long period of time into the house of God is blasphemy to the highest degree for that day that is set aside that He shed His blood for you. Now, do I make a strong stand against that? No, I'll flat let people know where it came from, and it's not too difficult if they're intelligent enough to want to check it out for themselves how that practice, which is nothing but a tradition of men. My point is this, you can build a house out of wood and worship it and its traditions that are taught there more than the Word of God if you slap God in the face with an insult of Ishtar worship in what is called a house of God on the day that is symbolic of the shedding of His blood. Hey, friends, it has happened and it has happened. And it happens every day. Does that mean you hate them? No, I feel sorry for them. I really do, because man grows so steeped in his or her religions until they forget their Father that swore by heaven and earth. And is it any wonder that people will walk in a place like that and walk out and say, wasn't it wonderful? Ask them what they learned in that house, and well, I don't know, it was just wonderful. God's Word isn't taught there. The word of men. I love them. They're our brothers, and God help them. But truth is truth. He says, when you do that, I'm kind of going to leave the miracles off from those places and the mighty works of my hand in touching them. But there will be a few. Are you one of those few he could have been speaking of? Let's read on. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God. Let me rephrase that. Even after this insult, if you seek me, thou shalt find him. if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. In other words, this breaks it down to an individual case or cause. He promises, though he turns his back away from all others, if you, individual that you are, with all your heart, love him and seek him. And don't you ever forget, he's swearing by both heaven and earth, this is valid. It is good. It is a promise that he has made. You know what? He'll bless you. He'll prosper you. He'll prosper you with knowledge and wisdom. And some might say, well, what about money? Don't play the fool. A wise person has money. All right? I mean, after, you know, it may take several years, but a wise person will sooner or later. Now, of course, there is one thing to that. Many people will say, well, I'm 60 years old and I'm not rich. Well, my home's paid for and I own my own car and my wife's happy and I've given each of my children everything they want, you know, to help them get started. Man, that's rich. That's a bunch, you know. A lot of people, if they hear the word rich, it's synonymous with Rockefeller, you know. Well, Rockefeller's never, I think I can say this, I've never talked about a man, but I really don't think he's ever been that happy. All right? I really don't. Be that as it may, it's beside the point. But wisdom, he'll make you rich in wisdom, and wisdom will gain you whatever you want because you're wise enough to get it. All right? Seek him, and you will find him, regardless of the scattering and regardless of his anger against the flock. 30. When thou art in tribulation, I mean when the going is rough, there's a recession, and you've been out of work for 4 months, and the wife's getting on your case, and it seems like you can't get along, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days. That means even down to now, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient. You got the qualification? It doesn't do you any good to cry, Lord, 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 if you're not obedient. Obedient to what? This word. What is this word? It tells you what to do. To be obedient. If you'll study it. That's, again, I cannot emphasize too much. That's God's promise to you. I'll help you make it. He's anxious. He's waiting to help anybody that will get serious with him from the heart. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God, and don't you ever let anyone tell you any different. God didn't bring the tribulation on you. Most often we bring it on ourselves. This group especially brought it on themselves by building that golden calf when they had seen the mercies of God in feeding his children and warming them in the cold. He will not forsake thee, absolutely will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant. You underline that if you like. It is a covenant. That means it's his contract with you, to you, of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. For ask now of the days that are past. I mean, look back at things that have happened and which were before thee since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other. You search every record and every artifact, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing, or hath been heard like it. Now, what he's talking about here is his coming down, going into captivity, and him causing them to become richer than even the Egyptians were when they came out, and feeding them by hand. It's just like God took a bunch of little babies and bottle-fed every one of them all across the desert. Come on now, yeah. Here's your food. Daddy got your supper ready for you. You little darlings, don't you love me now? No, they didn't. Because that same bunch, after all those signs and miracles, turned on him in a 3-day period. See that you don't allow your mind to create doubt that God won't make good on His promises. Again, I'm one standing before you that can guarantee you He makes good on His promises. He'll never shirk His duty if you want yours. Okay. You know the main problem with this? I want to tell you what's the problem with most people. I've seen it. And as a pastor and a counselor, though I don't have time to do counseling anymore, is this sounds so good. And it does. And people are ready. It's that word, tribulation, that gets them. You let the hot sun hit their back and they're ready to go to the house in 10 minutes. You know? You know, I'm getting on along in years. I'd like for some of them, the folks that talk about their hard times, to follow us on one of these documentaries out of the desert. You know, when it's hot and you walked 5 miles and you got to climb a mile straight up, and poor old Mikey and some of the others carrying cameras and equipment so they can get you a report of it back home. That's tribulation, but it's fun. All right. But what I'm saying is, if somebody comes up, you know what the greatest tribulation in the world is? A direct insult on your credibility and even abilities. That can really knock the air out of somebody's sails quicker than anything. And the old boy or girl that does it to you can be absolutely a no-goodnik. And if you listen to that kind of junk, God told you you're something special. Are you going to listen to God or are you going to listen to man? And that tribulation hits, and they turn back and cry and head back for the hole in the ground and say, oh, God didn't keep His word. He said, there's going to be tribulation, but I'm going to see you through it. It's going to be okay. So condition yourself. When the going gets rough, the rough get going, my friends. We grow in a challenge. And I'll tell you this, if you really love Him, about the time you think, I can't make that next hill, I just know I can't, He's going to just literally pull the rug and shorten it up, and you're going to be on top of it the first thing you know. He knows your limitations if you won't give up. All right, this really wasn't part of this lecture. I don't know how it got in here. I hope nobody needed that or anything. It's beginning to help me, because after this last trip, it was so rough. And I almost got blisters on my old feet and my corn. Whew. And it was, I even fell once on this one, you know. It wasn't too bad. Just kind of barked an elbow and so forth. And one of those that you just say, oh, shoot, over, you know, and kind of like that. But maybe I'm the one that needed it. I don't know. Be that as it may. Verse 33. Let's get back to the subject. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard and lived? God said, I did that for you. God said, I did that for you. That's this bunch He's angry with. Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations? That's to say, take Israel out of Egypt. By signs? Man, I showed them signs that there could be no doubt I'm God. And by wonders? And by war, I mean, I got old Pharaoh's chariots right out in the middle of that Red Sea, and I warred with him. I just put the stopper back in, and whoosh, he's gone with the water. You know, they saw it. And by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. It's written, beloved. It happened. It's true. It's recorded. It's even recorded in places other than God's Word. Verse 35, unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. Not some golden calf. Not some house that might teach heaven only knows what from quarterlies or annuals rather than teaching from the Word of God. There is none else beside Him. You're not going to find it anywhere else, beloved. Out of heaven He made thee to hear His voice, that He might instruct thee, and upon earth He showed thee His great fire. and thou heardest the words out of the midst of the fire. Moses heard them from the bush. And that night, as that mountain quaked, they heard it and they feared. They didn't want to hear it anymore. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them. That seed has work to do. You ready for it? And brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in and to bring thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. I'm going to tell you something. There are no giants in this world today standing before a man, a woman, or a child of God. You want me to say that again? There are no giants standing before a man or a woman of God. We are the giants. By that I mean we have power and might over any obstacle, because we have the wisdom to know that if that obstacle pops up in front of us, we're either going to bore through it, step around it, tunnel under it, but we're going through. There is no obstacle that can stop the work of Almighty God in this generation. For He has said it, and we claim it. And we're making pretty good time on it. Praise God. Okay. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. There's no other place you can go to get help and have it be worth anything. You might get some temporal help from friends. Sure, that's what friends are for, but usually that's by the touch of the Lord. God knows your mind and your heart, and He will lead you. Do you know something? There's another place he mentions the scattered people. It's Isaiah chapter 18. And I believe with all my heart that Isaiah chapter 18 is talking about none other than the United States of America. I think it was written to them. It is prophetic. And there is no... Now come with me and wake up. What is the United States of America? It's the only superpower left, and God would not have forsaken her or would not have allowed her to become to the platform on which he stands, teaching his word, having a constitution that guarantees our right from a little old town in northwest Arkansas to broadcast around the world, and we are. There's a reason for it. And he speaks of her in that 18th chapter. He will tell you also that they are a part of that scattered people. Isaiah chapter 18. And I am not the only student of God's Word that feels that this 18th chapter addresses this great nation. Chapter 18 of the book of Isaiah reads, "Woe to the land shadowed with wings." That great eagle. I'll even take this a little further, though this doesn't mean a thing. What nation was the aircraft invented in? I'll give you a clue. By two bicycle builders. They got tired of having to pedal so hard. The Wright brothers. But what is the bird? What is our great national bird? The eagle. The eagle's wings are that you shall shadow under. Remember Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moses, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. In other words, it's a long ways off. "That sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, saying, Go ye swift messengers to a nation scattered and peeled, to a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation kneaded out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled." That word spoil means divided. You got the Mississippi. You got the Rio Grande. You got the Colorado. She is divided by rivers. Of course, that would apply to most any nation. If any of you that like to play with Hebrew, just have a lot of fun with this word scattered, and have more fun with the word peeled. It's according. It can mean a number of things. It can mean tall. Have you ever seen pictures of American soldiers in a foreign land walking down a street? Of course, I'm a little tall anyway. I've experienced it's like a bunch of giants walking down through there. They're big. Listen, I don't know if anybody told you this or not. We're big people compared to most people. There are other big people in the world, but I'm talking about overall. When a group of our troops go through, well, like Japan, I never felt so out of place in my life the first day I set foot in Japan. And I'll never forget, we were the first Marines that touched the mainland of Japan after World War II. And they had told some of the awfulest stories about us. We had to kill our grandparents. I forget, do what to your own mother and dad and the rest of your brothers and sisters to even be a member of the United States Marines. You know? I mean, I walked down that street and the bam, the shutters, you know, they have these little shutters they pull down and that closes the store. You know, I mean, it cleared out. It was, pretty soon they found out we were a bunch of pushovers anyway. we had chocolate candy for the little ones and everything, but you felt huge, little bitty children, you know, way down here like this, you know, but they are tall, and peel means clean shaven, you know, that used to be true, but anymore we got a young crop coming on that. It's all right. There was an older crop than that did the same thing. I don't know what happens, but whatever to each of that's one thing about this great nation. You can do whatever you want to, all right, as far as shaving goes, okay? But it is interesting, to say the least, the thumbprint that is in that, playing with those words in the language. Verse 3, all ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers of the earth, come in earth, see ye. When he lifted up an ensign on the mountains, and when he bloweth the trumpet, hear ye. Let me ask you something. Some again might say, do you think that's America? Well, let me ask you something. That said mountains. You know what mountains are symbolic of in God's Word? Nations. A trumpet sounds. There is a place in this nation, it's not my favorite place, New York City. I mean, everybody that has to live there, now hear my words, if they live there on their own, they don't deserve a medal. But anybody that has to live in New York City should have a hero's medal, all right, be that as it may. But it's really, there's some wonderful people in New York State and everything, but I just never have cotton to New York City. Country boys wouldn't, I guess, but be that as it may. They send a sound out from New York City, and there are nations' flags from around the world. It's called the United Nations. Have you ever heard of it? They send ambassadors all over the world, and they come back from all over the world. And the last two religious wars, well, I'll go back past that. Korea was a United Nations war. Did you know that? Hey, I've got medals, right, that were presented to me that you turn them over and it'll say, as a serviceman in the United Nations, right on the back of it. Some of you old Korean veterans, you just flip them over and look at them. There it says, right there. But here we have the United Nations on this soil with ambassadors coming everywhere that are talking and even bringing in the New World Order on our very shores. Don't ever turn your back on prophecy that is happening in this great nation. Don't think small. Think God's Word. Verse 4. And so the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest. I'm going to watch for a while, and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs and like a cloud on dew in the heat of harvest. You going to harvest any of those scattered ones? God's sitting up there, and hey, he can turn up the heat, or he can bring on the dew. Which do you enjoy the most? Ever been out early in the morning when that precious dew is on the blade? What a beautiful time of day. And then if he gets unhappy with you in your everyday life, he'll say, well, bless that child. You know, they went all day without thinking about me. I'm going to turn up their burner. You know? Hey, now I'm speaking straight from the heart now. If the old heat's been on you, you better talk to him and get the burner cooled down a little bit. He can do it and will do it. And think about the scattered and think about the harvest. Verse 5, for the harvest, before you can have the harvest, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he shall both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks. You know what that means? He's going to prune you into shape. All right? A vine produces more fruit if it's pruned. And I'm going to tell you what, a person that is corrected does a lot better work for God. And take away and cut down the branches, that's the bad ones. They shall be left together unto the fowls of the mountains and to the beasts of the earth, and the fowls shall summer upon them, and all the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them. There's going to be, this is future, because there's going to be plenty for everybody. In that time shall the present be brought unto the Lord of hosts of a people scattered and peeled. And there it is again. Scattered and peeled. God scatters for a purpose. Look at America. And from a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden underfoot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion. And that's where ultimately, in the future sense, it shall be that as it may. Our Father's precious to us. He scattered people. He promised there will even come a time when they will smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. Scatter to do God's work. And you must be very careful and use wisdom. Many people do works for God, and they may not necessarily be according to God's word. Is he going to bless you for that? Let me answer it for you. No, he's not. By that I mean, you're going to think you're doing God's work, but you're listening to men rather than your Father. That's what I'm saying. And if you're doing what men tell you to do, rather than the word of God, I mean, I'm talking about traditions like, let's just go back to the little old Easter eggs and the fuzzy bunnies, all right? If you do that in the name of God, he won't bless you. He'll hurt you. He'll turn your burner up on high. And you'll reap the proceeds there in ignorance. Well, God kind of winks at ignorance sometimes, but those that know better, I would say beware. Turn with me to the New Testament in the book of Matthew as we wind this up here. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Jesus has just cast out some pretty tough old evil spirits. And I'm just going to talk you down through this here a little way. Well, we'll take it. Let's take it 25. Matthew 12, 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and they were thinking, how did he get rid of that demon out of that man? That was a miracle. All right? And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if you divide new things into God's word other than God's word, your belief is not going to stand. You're not going to make it. You're not going to be successful. You are not going to have God's blessings. Verse 26, and if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? It won't. But Satan will not cast himself out, else it be to bring twice the number in. Verse 27, and if I by Beelzebub, king of the dunghill, Satan, that's a good name for him, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Well, the answer was real simple. Therefore, they shall be your judges. Their children didn't cast them out because they didn't have the ability. They didn't have the power. For you've got to be in God's house and a servant of his before you can cast anything out. You're powerless against even a bad thought, much less an evil spirit. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. In other words, even one of you, when you cast an evil thought from a house where there is trouble, and you help put that house in order with Almighty God doing it and you aiding Him, that was God doing it. He only uses you as a tool. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first binds a strong man, and then he will spoil his house? In other words, you got to be wiser than Satan before you can enter a house he controls and throw him out. Or he's going to have you for supper. All right? You've got to be wiser than he is. And it's really not that difficult. Because as long as you're in Christ, he gives you power. I'm quoting from Luke chapter 10, verse 18, following. Over all your enemies, and Satan is your enemy. Don't you ever doubt it. You don't have to be afraid of them. You have the authority if you'll take it. What gives you that power? The covenants we're reading here, it's God's promise, and they're real. It's not a religion, it's a reality. Verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. Now let that sink in just a little bit. Christ speaking, you're either with him or you're against him. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. This is the time of gathering, not scattering. And you're either teaching God's word as it is written, allowing God to speak, rather than reading funny books in your church and talking about bunnies, because you're not helping God if you're doing that. Quite the opposite. You're helping somebody else. You're not gathering. And if you're not with him, you're against him. Now, this has nothing to do with that other chapter that says, oh, Lord, they're casting out over there, they're casting out in your name. He said, hey, if they do it in my name, they're with me. But you must be wise enough in this end generation to know which Messiah you serve, the first or the second. And a word to the wise is sufficient. The first or the second. Because deception has already entered this world. Because men do study, and quite contrary to their own beliefs, following the traditions of men will set you on a false course that will lead you against God, against the work of Christ, rather than to it. So, there you have it. You're either with Christ, in his word, teaching his word, studying his word, understanding his word, or you're out here in the world of men. And if you think for 1 minute I'm talking about this church versus other churches, forget it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about individuals. You're either with him or you're against him. And if you have made a habit of listening totally to men without checking them out in this word of God, friend, you got trouble, because you don't know until you have studied it for yourself, until you check out every teacher as to whether you can trust that teacher or not, then you really don't know what God says. So be careful. It comes down to that one sentence. You're either with him or you're against him. Does that mean that I would dislike someone that might take their little children out on a hillside, beautiful sunny Easter day, though the word Easter is not even in the Word of God? The Greek word where Easter is used in the book of Acts is Paschal, which is Passover. But man loves that Ishtar, right, and must work it in there. And those little innocent children are hiding those colored eggs, which stood for fertility. And once a year, the heathen gathered together, and they had this great festival of fertility. It was awful. And that has been translated. Well, I'm not saying anything against them, because those little children are as innocent as newborn babes. I blame their teachers and no one else. Am I saying you should keep your grandchildren? Hey, there's nothing wrong with hard-boiled eggs. Hard-boiled eggs are no sin. But teach your children what is going on symbolically. And tell them, let them participate. If we can't walk away those that don't, if we can't walk among those that don't have the truth, we can't very well help them, can we? I'm saying don't criticize them. I'm leery of people. I'm a little leery of people that will say, "Ooh, I got that. Easter eggs are a fertility rite. Am I wise?" And they take that like a steamroller and run over every church in the community. Womp, 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 bam. You know, just destroy the thing. Hey, you don't teach God's Word by destruction. You intermix and educate them whereby they see the truth, and you teach His Word by love and understanding. You're either with Him and you follow Him as an example, or you're scattering. And so many people can scatter poor lost souls that are looking for a solid foundation in troubled times. And it's here, friends. It's in your hand. It's God's Word. You don't have to be afraid of anything. And you don't have to be afraid that any one little slogan's going to destroy you, because you know better. So teach your children the truth, but teach them how to be gentle with the knowledge of God. In closing, one more scripture I want to use. I want to go to the great book of John chapter 11, and then we're going to close. John, the 11th chapter. I got two verses, I think it is, I want to read there. I'll let you know quick as I get there. 49th verse through 53. That's more than two verses, isn't it? But it won't take me long to do that. That's kind of my feeling thought here, okay? Chapter 12, verse 40. I'm in chapter 11 is what I want. Yeah. I can't read my notes here. Turn too many pages. And then I want verse 49. Right. This is where God lets old Caiaphas do a little talking for him, okay? St. John, chapter 11, verse 49. "And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all." In other words, they're on Christ's case. They won't kill him, all right? And this is a case of where God actually enters the enemy and speaks prophecy through his lips. "Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." In other words, Caiaphas was admitting that Christ was Messiah here, whether he wanted to or not. "And this spake he not of himself." In other words, this wasn't old Caiaphas talking, it was the Holy Spirit speaking through him. "But being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for that nation," that people, "and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad." They were scattered abroad for a purpose, to spread the word. This is the time of the gathering. Now, just like you get your old cotton sack out and get ready to head down that road, and there's not many of you would know what I'm talking about, be that as it may, it's time to gather, and it's time to let His Word in this generation enter the minds of those you love and those that you can plant seeds with, that they will be drawn to this almighty Word of God with intelligence and in using common sense. See that the enemy has made great progress as far as overcoming the world. But we know from this word, we have the victory. We are the victors. So they're scattered, and I want you to look at your own daily life in this way. If you're not careful, you allow your own thoughts to become scattered occasionally. Sometimes that may be for a purpose, but usually it's not a good purpose. Sometimes you let that happen. You don't get it together. And when you feel yourself in that position, you remember that promise that God made in Deuteronomy chapter 4. That He will help you gather it back together. He will. He is real. He is our Father. And let the thoughts of your life be funneled into one opening. And may that be the way to serving Almighty God through His living Word. Scattered? Yes. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything He does has a purpose. I like to watch a good bulldozer operator. Now, that may sound silly to some of you, all right? But if you're paying $50 an hour, okay, that's when you really enjoy watching a good one, okay? Because he's moving dirt, coming and going. He doesn't just run over here and then lift her up and clankety, 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 and back all the way back over here and never move anything. He's wasting your money, you know. A good operator, I don't care where that thing moves. It's working. It's doing something. So I kind of lost my point a little bit in that, but make sure that when you're doing your Father's work that you move dirt in every direction. You can do it, and He'll bless you for it. I love you for that. Let's go to His throne. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Father, we ask that You touch us, that in as scattering is, that may You use each of these. Feel free, Father, to use them as a harvester. And Father, may Thy Word of truth and comfort go forth in this world today. Use us, Lord. We consider it a pleasure to serve Thee in Jesus' name.